Amen. Please turn with me also to Lord's Day 44, which is found on page 45 in your books. Hartwood Catechism has been going through each of the Ten Commandments, and we finally have arrived at the last commandment of covetousness. And also, it ends, the Lord's Day ends by summarizing how we are to understand the relationship the Christian is to have with the Ten Commandments. And so let's do that together. Please respond to the questions. What does the Tenth Commandment require? That not even the least inclination or thought against any of God, commandment of God ever enter heart, but with our whole heart we continually hate all sin and take pleasure in all righteousness. Can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? Of God. Why then does God so strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them? First, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be renewed more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection after this life. The Tenth Commandment focuses on your desires. It focuses on what goes on in your heart. Unlike the other commandments to love your neighbor, this one is not as observable, at least not at first, not on the surface. This is purely, or at least more centered on the heart. Now, certainly this commandment translates into an outward action, outward obedience, but its primary focus is what goes on in your heart. The word covet has to do with the desire to obtain something, to desire to obtain what you don't already have. It's not that all our desires are inherently evil. God has hardwired us to desire things. We can desire to provide for our family. We can desire to get a raise in our job and work extra hours and perform extra duties to put in an extra effort to perform at a higher level in our current profession. In the course of any given day, we have hundreds, maybe even thousands of desires that we deal with. But here lies the issue. What keeps you from turning even your best desires into a selfish desire? What keeps all of your desires from being self-centered? Because of our sinful nature, our desire to serve ourselves, comes quite easily. As much as we can isolate those good desires that we may have, the Lord knows that our desires can be fluid. They can change very quickly because we're emotional people. And the reason why our desires can be dangerous is because desires do turn into an action. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you can switch the word covet for the word desire, and you can understand the heart of this commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. How many marriages have been damaged or lost because the spouse has lost their desire for their partner and desires someone else? Of course, someone can say, well, that's not going to turn into anything. It's just a fleeting desire. It's just a fling or whatever. A fleeting thought. Are you sure about that? Pride comes before the fall. Be on guard for where your desires take you. You shall not covet or desire your neighbor's ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. How many wars have been fought because of one country coveting or desiring the resources or the land of another country? Here's my point. What starts in the heart never stays in the heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. 1 Peter 2 says, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So we have a problem. As Christians, we are at war with our competing desires. Now, for the unbeliever, there is no war because their desire is to keep their sin and to reject God's authority. That certainly doesn't mean that they don't have any struggles with their desires. We all struggle to know what direction we are to take in our life. We all look for a compass that gives us that direction. The problem is that compass for the unbeliever will never point to loving God or glorifying Him. But for the believer who comes to place their trust in Jesus Christ and His Word, the war has just begun. You begin to see everything about your life through the lens of God's Word. The Lord has become your light and your salvation. And as you walk with God, who is the light, that means that our remaining sinful nature will be exposed for all of its darkness. We desire to love God. We desire to love neighbor. But we also give in to our sinful desires as well. Covetousness is a thought-for-thought battle for the Christian. Not only are we called to wage war against our fleshly lusts, but Scripture calls us to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. The Catechism says that not even the smallest thoughts, not even the smallest desires against any of God's commands should even enter into our hearts. Wow. What does that mean? It means, as Proverbs 8:13 says, that to obey or fear God means to hate what is evil. Because God hates what is evil. But not only do we hate what is evil, we love and pursue righteousness because God loves righteousness, Psalm 11:7 says. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. And He looks with favor those who are righteous. Can any one of us claim that all of our desires that come out of our minds or and our hearts hate evil and loves righteousness? Not even close. Not even close. We all have desires, even as Christians, that if it were not for the grace of God, would condemn us. But here is the good news. The 10th commandment, along with every other commandment, does not only teach us about the depth of our sin, but it also teaches us the greatness of our salvation that we have found in Jesus Christ. Our Redeemer did not only know the depths of our crooked hearts that is filled with damnable idolatry, He was punished as if those desires were His desires. He was counted as a transgressor, taking the punishment for all of our sinful deeds, for all of our sinful words, for all of our sinful desires and thoughts that came out of us. But not only did He take our hearts of stone, He gives us a heart of flesh, a living, beating heart that is filled with new and continual desires to love God and love neighbor. A heart filled with new and continued desires to love Him and His commands. You, beloved of Christ, are being renewed every single day. Every single day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So our confidence is in the perfect righteousness of Christ that we have attained by faith. But our confidence is also to be in the Holy Spirit's ability to transform us from glory to glory, from day to day. That's our sanctification. Don't spend your Christian life beating yourself up. Don't do it. Don't worry. You are far worse than you think you are.
but you are loved by your Redeemer more than you will ever know. Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul prays for the church to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. He prays that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's why we obey God's commandments. Through our obedience, we learn more about our sin and we learn how sufficient Christ is. And those desires to obey have been given to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. But also, understand that your obedience, even in light of what Christ has provided, our obedience is out of thankfulness. But even in that obedience, out of thankfulness, it is nothing more than a very, very small beginning of what's to come. In all the spiritual growth, in all of the maturity that you will gain over the years of walking with Christ, you will still only be doing baby steps in comparison to the perfection of your sanctification that you and I will experience in glory. Amen.